Okay, so this morning, because, you know, we're having our members-only meeting that we have once a year, and we're having this on Monday night. So I decided I want to speak on about actually a major purpose of the Messianic Synagogue, and specifically a major purpose of Kol Mashiach as a synagogue. And that is fellowship. And so when I say this morning, fellowship is a major purpose of us being here. But we need to understand that fellowship is much more than people just think about. It's not just getting together every week and participating together before services and after services, having kiddush after with some food and fellowship and schmoozing together, and or, you know, maybe people are here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I have to finally kick them out by closing all the lights off. That's a part of fellowship. But the thing is, fellowship in its completeness is why we are here as a synagogue. Complete fellowship, that's what it's all about. So by fellowship, here's what happens. If we follow God and Messiah, we understand something that we read about in both the Torah and in the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament. So, but this morning, let's start with this. Let's go to Matthew 22, and we're going to look at 36 through 40. And so there was a teacher, or it says lawyer, but he was really one of the experts of the law, of the Torah. And he said to Yeshua, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Yeshua said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so whenever we see a reference about the law and the prophets, we're talking about the Tanakh, the Old Testament, because commonly the law is the Torah, and the prophets are the words of the prophets, which are the balance of the Old Testament, of the Tanakh. And so notice, the question is, what is the greatest commandment? But Yeshua didn't stop there with love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. He said, and also I want to tell you this commandment also, because it's really, these are the two greatest commandments together. And these are the essence of the entire Torah. So when God gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, they were two tablets. And if you read the commandments, you see the first five were about man's relationship with God. And the second of the commandments were about man's relationship with man. And so this is the very essence of the very essence. The Ten Commandments are the essence of the entire Torah. But the two commandments are the essence of the Ten Commandments. And so the words that we chant or we read every week are from the Torah. So we see it in the Brit Hadashah. Now let's look at the Torah. We'll look at Deuteronomy and Leviticus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And in Leviticus, "And you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord your God." V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, we read and we chant it every week. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, So those are the words. Love your God and love your neighbor. Now, I want to mention something. In traditional Judaism, neighbors are defined as, because we do, well, you know, it says love your neighbor. But what does that mean? Do we love everyone on the same level? Do we love everyone no matter how they treat you or what they do? Well, here's the thing. In traditional Judaism, neighbors are defined as people who behave decently. And sometimes we have to understand we are not to be beating posts. We are not always to be martyrs to the point where we let everybody just walk all over us again and again and again. And so in traditional Judaism, if people are defined as people that behave decently, which excludes people that are antisocial, people that are criminals, people that are cruel, and people that are dishonest. And what that does is, yes, we are to show love to people, but when we see time and time again, there's a pattern of people, as Rav Shaul said, sometimes it's time to dust the dust off your sandals and walk away. We need to understand that. And it's not being cruel. And it's not being ungodly. And it's not being non-believer-like. But it is something that we need to understand. And so fellowship is more than just our food and fellowship that we have here. It's about the greatest commandments. Fellowship. It's fellowship with God and with people. That is complete fellowship. So when I say we come here and it's about fellowship with God and it's about fellowship with people. You see? And so we need to understand that is what I just want to look at as being a complete fellowship. Kol Mashiach is for that, to love God and to love people. So fellowship is more than that food and fellowship thing. Let's look at Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. This is Shaul writing a letter to the Ephesians. And I know we talked last week about the idea of being citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. And so in this, he is saying that you're not strangers and foreigners, but you're fellowship citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. So order the saints. The saints aren't, as you know, the Catholic Church, they make people saints when you reach a certain level or something. In the scriptures, saints is believers in Messiah Yeshua. We are saints. That's who saints are. And so we are all saints together, and we are all citizens together in the Commonwealth of Israel. And we are members of that household of God together. And if you remember, this, it's all about becoming citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel, of the household of God. And so last week when I say, you got to know the flow, it was 2 weeks ago, you got to know the flow. You got to know the flow, because our flow once again is that all believers become part of the Commonwealth of Israel. All believers don't become part of the Baptist Church or the Assemblies of God Church or the Church of Christ or any church. We don't become members of some great church that's going to be in the end times or in the kingdom of God or in the Messianic age. There is not going to be a great church. Where we are going, where we are flowing to, is the Commonwealth of Israel. So again, that's why I said you got to know the flow. The flow is for all believers to migrate to the understanding and the rules and regulations that God gave to Israel to one day acknowledge and accept their Messiah, and that would bleed eventually into the Messianic age and then into God's everlasting kingdom. That's the flow. So you got to know the flow. To become that citizen, there are really three basic parts: believing, belonging, and being transformed. Believing, obviously, to believe that God came in the flesh and died for our sins so that our sins could be atoned for. And of course, it's nothing new. It's not a Christian concept at all. It's the concept of the Torah, that you need a blood sacrifice of an innocent animal. The blood sacrifice allows our sins to be atoned for, covered, so that we can have a relationship with God the Father. So that's the concept in the Torah, and that is the concept of us believing that the blood of Messiah atones for our sins. So you have to believe, you've got to belong, part of the body of Messiah, and then there is the transformation that we have. And I think belonging, which I always emphasize that people should really belong together, and belonging helps with the other two. When you belong, it strengthens our believing and our faith. When you belong, you have a chance and an opportunity to hear the word, to discuss the word, to go to different activities or whatever. If we have Bible studies on occasion, whatever, you know, if we have prayer night, these are opportunities to increase our faith. It increases our opportunities to increase, to know that what we believe is true, is in fact true. And when we're together, we have this opportunity to fellowship together and to belong together and to discuss these things together and to help each other along this path. And so belonging strengthens our believing and our faith. And when we belong, it gives us this wonderful opportunity to be transformed when we belong. It's very hard when you're out there to be really transformed, because here we can encourage you to be transformed. We can talk about you being transformed. You have an idea and examples of people that have been transformed. You have something to look at, or someone to look at, of a transformation in Messiah. And so belonging also gives us this opportunity to be transformed. So that's why I say that I think that belonging helps us with those other two things. Because God wants us to be something other than we were before we came to except Yeshua. He wants us all to be transformed. And he wants us, the transformation should be to be transformed into what God wants us to be. So in the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is this wonderful, and I point so many times to the book of Acts, and I tell people, this is the history of Messianic Judaism. This talks about, in the book, we see the beginnings of Messianic Judaism, and we see through its history how it grows, how it grew, how people increased in faith. And so in the book of Acts, we have one simple line that shows us why the believers and the movement grew. It's not the only reason, but it does give us an insight of what happened. So Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. These things, if we as a congregation, as a body, or even as a movement, or the body of Messiah, if we could do these things, it would grow and continue growing. And so these are the things that we need to look at. Worshiping together. There's a dynamic worshiping together that people can't experience worshiping by themselves. Is worshiping by themselves good? Absolutely. Do I encourage it? Absolutely. We should be at home every day. Just take, even if it's a couple of minutes, just to worship the Lord and thank the Lord for what he does in your life. Worshiping the Lord, absolutely. But when we come together, there is a dynamic about coming together in the body, coming together as a congregation, that there is a certain dynamic that sometimes we can't even explain exactly what's going on. Fellowshipping together is very, very important. They broke bread. Of course, unfortunately, we have that people look at that and say, oh, they had communion. They were getting together and did communion. No, they were eating together. Listen, this is a bunch of Jewish people. And you know it's all about food many times. They were breaking bread together. People have turned this into this spiritual event. Eating together is a spiritual event. As long as it's Jewish food. No, you know what I'm saying? None of those little thin sandwiches where there's a piece of meat in there that you can look through it. That's not a Jewish sandwich. All right? It's got to be 2 inches minimum of something in that sandwich. Breaking bread is eating together, and that's what we do, and that's one of the reasons we do it, because we encourage people to stay and schmooze and fellowship and come together instead of running out the door. Get to know everybody. Get to meet everybody. Get to spend some time together, and then I'll throw you out after 3 o'clock. But that's okay. But the thing is, this is one of the very important components there. Eating together. Praying together. We set a time. We have a little prayer time, and hopefully I want people out there not just chit-chatting. There's fellowship time, and there's praying time. During prayer is not fellowship time. I want you to be praying. Pray for the people that are up here. They need prayer. They have come up in front of the congregation because they want someone to pray for them and lay hands on them and anoint them. So pray for those people. Even if you don't know what they're here for, you don't need to know. God knows. So these are the basic things that allowed the Messianic movement to grow. These components. They all include fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with each other. Romans 15:7. Therefore, received one another, just as Messiah also received us to the glory of God. Receive everyone. But we receive everyone. But if there are problems, you got to step back. It's not blindly receive everyone, but it is, let's give everyone a chance. Come on in, and we will receive you. But if people act, they're not acting well, then we have to take steps with that. And we should do that also, all of us. If someone's not treating you right, and if someone's hurting you, and there's something that's there, if they're taking advantage of you, you know, I'll give a good example of this. Everyone, you know, everyone is welcome to come in. But if we see that, and it's happened before, and I know it's happened with people. People come in for the sole purpose to get money from people. They come and they start talking to this one about how, gee, they need money. If they're coming here just to get money from people, and that's the only reason they're here, there's the door, buddy, because we need to have a little sechel, a little, you know, smarts here. And understanding. But we receive everyone in. Okay? Messiah receives all of us. But if we're doing something in our lives, then that relationship with Messiah is not going to stay. You know, if we go out and keep doing the things that we do in the world, and we keep doing our sins over and over again, and we keep doing things, and, you know, and then he received us, but there's no lasting relationship with. And so we need to really understand these things. The purpose of Kol Mashiach is fellowship by God, with God, and one another. So I want all of us to be on the same team here, especially people, especially that are members of the congregation. I want everyone to be on the same team. And so using, because last week was Super Bowl, so look, I just decided this week in the office, I wrote that here's the thing. You know, one could be a quarterback, and one could be a great quarterback, a wonderful quarterback. One could be a running back. One could be a lineman. We could all have different positions on that football team. And that quarterback may be the greatest quarterback. The thing is, if there's no one out there to catch the pass, or there are no linemen to block and protect the quarterback, he can't do what he is called to do with the team. You see, I know that Shaul talks about this, about the ear and the eye and nose and all the things together, but let's put it in modern day lingo here. The quarterback, without the rest of his team, isn't going to be able to do what he needs to do and is called to do and is able to do for his team. And so we all need to work together as a team. C.H. Spurgeon. And he said these words in 1861, and they're still true today. Let's put it up. I put the quote up. Fellowship with God was one of the richest privileges of unfallen men. It is a privilege that we can fellowship with God. Sometimes we don't even understand what a privilege that is, that we can fellowship with him. He fellowshiped with us in the garden. Right after creation, he came into the garden and he walked with Adam and Eve. He wants to fellowship with us. He did it in the garden. When that didn't work out real good and he kicked them out of the garden, eventually we see 2,000 years ago, he came in the flesh to fellowship with us once again. He wants to fellowship with us. And we know that he's going to return. Yeshua is going to return. And then we're going to be with God the Father. We're going to be with God in his completeness. God wants to fellowship with each and every one of us. And finally, how do we love him with all of our heart? How do we love him with all of our heart? How do we know that we're doing it as completely as we should be doing it? You know, the answer is, I don't know. I don't know how. I do know this. Whatever we're doing, we could do even a little bit more. I know that. You know, sometimes people have asked me, how do we know that we're doing, I mean, as believers, are we doing enough? What are we doing? And I tell them, do the best in your heart that you think you should be doing, and then maybe do a little bit more. Because I don't know. Is there a line? Do we have a fine line of we're doing enough, and we're on the other side, we're not doing enough? We don't know that. We just do the best that we can from our hearts. Not just we do the best that we think we should be doing because of our likes and dislikes and hobbies and time or whatever. It's not that. It's from our heart what we think we should be doing, the best that we can be doing. So finally, how do you love him with all your heart? These are some good places to start. Share your joys with him. Don't just go to the Lord when you have your want list and prayers. Oh, I'm going to pray to God today. God, I need this, and God, I want that, and God, could you do this in my life, and God, could you do that in your life? He wants to do these things in our lives, but you know what? I think he would like once in a while for you to share some of the joys that you're having in your life. Thank you, Lord, for this, and thank you, Lord, for this, and thank you, Lord, that this happened in my life, and what a joy this has been. Share the joy in your life. Listen, if you have friends, the worst thing in the world is when you get together with your friend and all they do is complain to you about something that's going on in their life. Oh, my kids, my husband. Friends want to get together and exchange joy together, too. That's part of it. Let's exchange the good things that are happening in our lives, not just all the garbage that's happening in our lives. God doesn't, he's willing to hear you, but he wants to fellowship with you, and he wants to hear all the good things that are happening in your life. Share the joy with him. Fill him in with your private hopes. Let him know what's truly on your heart, not just as the want list, but let him know what's really on your heart. Let him have a little, you know, he knows you better than you know yourself, but let him know about these things. Share your joys. Share your private hopes with the Lord. Tell him how much you appreciate him. Try this. And you know what you're going to find out? Sometimes it's hard to do. Take 5 minutes to pray and only don't ask him for anything. Don't ask him for any situations. Just take the time to show him how much you love him and appreciate him. See if you can do that. And you know what usually happens is, it's true, you start eventually getting into a little bit of talking about situations and maybe, Lord, you'd help me with that and help me with this. It's a natural thing that we do. But let's just try to show him how much we really, really appreciate him. And now, how do you love him with all your heart? Talk him up, brag on him to others. You know, and it's maybe just a part of us being human. But when we hear our kids telling other people how good we are as parents, doesn't that sound really, when you find out that your kids have been bragging on you, doesn't it make you feel good? And you know they really do love you, no matter what they say to you sometimes face to face. So brag on him to others. Tell others what a great God he is. Tell others the wonderful things he does in your life. Tell others how you can go to him. Tell others how you can pour out yourself to him if you have to. Tell others about him. Brag on the Lord. And when you do that, you're showing him how much you really love him with all your heart, soul, and strength. So these are just some of the things this morning. It's what it comes down to for each and every one of us. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha and v'ahavta re'acha kamocha. These are the two greatest commandments, but these are the things that, this is what we're here for, loving God and loving each other. Shabbat Shalom.